Turn, if you would, this morning to Matthew chapter 5. And I'm giving our Beatitudes series a little bit of a makeover for Valentine's Day. This morning we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 5. We'll be looking at verse 8. It simply declares, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." They shall see God. Now, no doubt, every one of us want to see God someday in heaven. We'd like to see God in our day-to-day lives. Jesus says that if we want to see God, then we need to be pure in heart. And so as we explore this beatitude, number 6 in this series of sermons that we've been going through on the Sermon on the Mount, I would submit to you this morning that you must be pure in heart. You must be pure in heart. Now, you may wonder, what exactly does that mean? Well, in Hebrew psychology, just so that we can kind of get an understanding of what is meant when in Bible times they spoke of the heart, in Hebrew psychology, the heart was the absolute center of a person. It was the place where personal will, where feelings and thinking took place. So the idea here is, blessed are those who are pure at this very center of their being. That is what is being spoken of when it tells us to be pure in heart. In other words, Jesus wants us, and you might want to jot this somewhere if you're taking notes, Jesus wants us to be clean to the core, pure in heart, clean to the core, 100% pure. In fact, the word that is used there as it talks about being clean is katharos, which it's translated these different ways in the Bible: clean, clear, and pure. That's where we get our English word catharsis. Now, if you've ever heard someone say that they cried or something, or they somehow had some kind of emotional or psychological outlet, and sometimes people say it was cathartic to be able to cry or whatever that is. That word means cleansing. And cathartic is a purging of the emotions or the emotional tensions that somebody has. So it has the idea of clean, pure, cleansing. We're to be pure in heart. To get an idea of how clean this word might refer, or what exactly it means when it says clean, this is the same term that is used in Revelation chapter 21, verse 21, when it says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls." Every single gate was of one pearl. And then here, listen to this: "And the street of the city was pure gold." That's the same word, katharos, which is pure, that is used in Matthew 5:8, pure in heart. It says that the street of the city was pure gold in heaven, as it were, transparent glass. Now, that is very pure. We don't even have gold on this planet that would be that pure. That is the kind of purity which Jesus speaks of. Now, when we hear that, you might ask, well, does this mean that I have to attain sinless perfection in order to go to heaven? Do I have to be 100% pure to go to heaven? Yes, that is the standard. Anything less than 100% purity will not be allowed in heaven. The good news is, Jesus Christ died on the cross to buy us that kind of purity. Amen? To take away all of the wickedness and impurity of our sin. And you know, that's the first step to being pure in heart. We need to have accepted Jesus Christ and His righteousness so that we can have the kind of purity even as the streets in heaven have when it speaks of the pure gold being pure, as it were, transparent glass. Jesus Christ paid the price so that we can be 100% pure. All we have to do is accept that gift of salvation. But this morning, I think the beatitude, as it is spoken, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," I believe it goes beyond salvation. I believe the appeal that is being made by Jesus Christ is deeper than just an appeal for salvation. In other words, what's being spoken of here isn't simply we get saved and that's the end of pure in heart, you know. Bang, boom, you're done. Now you get to see God. I think it goes much further than that, what Jesus is revealing to us. If we want to see God in heaven someday, no doubt we need God's gift of salvation. You cannot get to heaven without that. You will never be good enough. 100% purity is required. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. So if we want to see God someday in heaven, we need that gift of salvation to purify our hearts. But in addition to that, if we want to see God now, then we have to take measures to purify our hearts so that God will be able to bless our lives. If we want to see Him work and interact in our lives, then we need to be clean to the core. This morning, I'd like to break up our purity of heart, our cleanness to the core. I'd like to break that into three areas this morning. And the first one that I want to consider is the area of our mind. In order to be pure in heart, you must be pure in your thinking, in your thoughts, your mind. When Jesus Christ speaks of the way that we are to live, the way that we are to act, you realize that it goes far beyond simply our actions and how we actually interact with others in our world. Now, let me see if I can clear that up for you. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, later on in this same chapter, verse 27 and 28, He says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." He also likens hate to murder. What Jesus is explaining is that it's not enough simply to prevent ourselves from doing these outward acts. But His kind of purity requires that we even be pure in our thinking and in the way that in the matters of our heart, the area that nobody can see. So Jesus, and this is interesting, think about this, Jesus would not be satisfied with a society in which no adultery was committed, actually committed. Do you understand that? So if we were to clean ourselves so much that there was no adultery in Trinidad, Jesus still would not be happy with us. Because we would also have to rid those lustful thoughts from our minds in order for Christ to be happy, in order for Jesus to be satisfied with us. It's not enough for simply not to do bad things. We have to make sure that we are pure in heart, clean to the core. It's not enough to rid ourselves of sinful acts and allow sinful thoughts to run rampant through our thought process, through our minds. We have to be pure in heart. We have to purify our minds. Now, most of you probably understand that when we recently went through that series on the Ten Commandments, every single one of them, we saw where it's not enough for us simply to not lie or simply not to do these things. We have to make sure there's no deception at our base level. We have to go further than the actual acts. Most of you probably understand that. But the real question is, how do I do that? And all of us struggle with this. We all struggle with sinful thoughts. We struggle with how we can control our mind. You remember a few weeks back in our Transform sermon series, I did that series on mind control. And if this is one of those areas that you really find yourself having a difficult time with, you say, "Pastor Jimmy, I really have difficulty with my thought process," I would challenge you to listen to that message. You can go on our website and hear it, or if you don't have the internet, if you'll see me, I'll get you a copy of that. But we need to make our minds pure. But the question is, how do I do that? For instance, one author tells a story about an alchemist who sold villagers a special powder that he claimed would turn water into gold. Now, how many of you would like to have a powder like that, huh? You just take this powder and pour it into water, and it becomes gold. He sold them this powder, but there was a catch. It would turn water into gold, provided that when they mixed it, they never thought of red monkeys. Well, of course, no one ever got the gold, Because you can't tell yourself to stop thinking about red monkeys, right? It was a farce. But of course, if anybody ever came out and said, you know, hey, this powder didn't work. Did you think of red monkeys? You must have thought of red monkeys, right? We cannot win the battle for the mind by sitting around all day and saying, oh, don't think about that, don't think about that. No, instead what we have to do is replace all those things that displease God with thoughts that please God. That is the way to win the battle for the mind. And I love this passage over in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, I've talked about it before with you. I want you to turn over here and look at it. Philippians chapter 4. And this is a good passage to underline in your Bible. Philippians 4 verse 8, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, if you would put those things into practice, if you would allow those things that are described in verse 8 to be the thoughts that you allow yourself to dwell upon, then I promise you that you would win the battle of being pure in heart and that you would be able to purify your mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, good report, think on these things. And so being pure in heart, it involves your mind. But you know, it goes beyond your mind. The second area I want you to consider this morning, I want you to consider your motives. You know, many struggle with thoughts in their mind. And many times it's easier to not do bad acts because we know other people are watching. Sometimes our thought life, we just let it run wild because, I mean, hey, we think nobody can look in there and see that. You know, when it comes down to our motives, in much the same way, we may do the right things but have the wrong motives at heart. Thomas Kempis said this, man sees your actions, but God your motives. You know, just as sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking nobody sees the thoughts that we allow to run through our minds, many times we can be doing good and appear from the outside to other believers and our neighbor or our friend across the street. We may appear to be, you know, very good people. We may appear to be living a life that would honor Christ. But you know, in the same way that God sees our mind when no one else sees it, God knows our motives behind why we do the things that we do. And it's important that if we're going to be clean to the core, if we're going to have a purity in our hearts, it's important that our motives be correct. God is concerned with why we do what we do, not just what we do. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. You don't have to turn there, but you remember the story when Samuel was going to anoint the king of Israel. And he went to a man in Bethlehem's house. His name was Jesse. And all of his sons came, and each time one of those men would pass in front of Samuel, God would say, no, not that one, not that one, not that one. Till finally all the sons had come, and Jesse said, don't you have any others? And they said, well, we have David. I mean, but he's out in the field. Well, call him. And then 1 Samuel 16, 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Those older brothers, they may have seemed better looking. They may have seemed taller. But God was not looking on the outward appearance. He said, I've refused him. I don't look like man looks. I look on the heart. You know, God sees right through us into our hearts. And that's why it's important, not just what we do. We put a lot of emphasis on that. But it's also important why we do it. An Egyptian architect was commissioned by one of the pharaohs to build a lighthouse. It was to be positioned at the mouth of the Nile. It was on a piece of rock that had been selected carefully. The architect made a wonderful lighthouse and put it there on that specific rock. Engraved upon the cement covering the outside of the lighthouse was the name of the Pharaoh. However, in a few years, the effect of the wind and the rain had worn the cement away where the Pharaoh's name was engraved, and it was discovered that as Pharaoh's name was washed away, the engineer who had erected the lighthouse had his own name engraved underneath. You see, from the outside, it may have looked very much like he was true and faithful to the Pharaoh and doing everything that the Pharaoh asked him to do. But as time progressed, his motives were revealed. It was shown that that was just a surface kind of thing. But really, he had put his name etched in stone underneath. You know, in the same way, many times I believe that we may do things that to a world that is looking on may seem very gallant, may seem very noble, may seem very upstanding. But inside we have the wrong kind of motives for it. We're trying to get so-and-so's attention, or we want praise from this one, or whatever it may be. Maybe the reason you come to church is because someone else might see you there, or some other reason. I want you to understand that although nobody else in the world may see those motives, God sees our motives. And if we're going to be pure in heart, we have to make sure not only are the actions clean, we have to make sure the motives are clean. C.H. Spurgeon gives an illustration about this, and I think it's really profound. See if you can get this visual imagery in your mind. You know, back in the days, they didn't have electricity and such, and so sawmills and different kind of factories would be run with water power. They would have, you know, a big water wheel, and the motion or current of the water would turn that water wheel, and then they would take that energy and transfer it into whatever they needed to do, whether it be running saws or whatever it is on the river. There are two primary kinds of water wheels that were used back then. They have an undershot water wheel where the wheel would just sit in a lake or stream or whatever, and the current of the water running through would spin the wheel and would produce the energy for whatever. The second kind, the water would be elevated. It was called an overshot water wheel. And the water would spill onto the wheel, and the weight of gravity would turn that wheel. Do you know which one was more powerful? The one that was an overshot water wheel. Because not only did it have the power of the water with the current, but it had the downward force of gravity pulling on the water. What kind of water wheel this morning are you when it comes to how you live your life? Are you driven by the undercurrents of the world and you're concerned about what this one thinks or what that one thinks, or you know, what my neighbor or my friend thinks? Or are you driven by the power from above where you're concerned about what God thinks and you allow it to drive everything in your life? If we're going to be pure in heart, we've got to make sure that we purify our mind, but then we also have to make sure that we're pure in our motives. But then lastly this morning, let's not forget that our outward actions have to be pure as well. We have to make sure that our mind is filled with godly things, that the reason why we do the things we do honors God. And then we have to make sure that what we do is indeed pleasing to the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, over to Psalm chapter 24. Here David answers the very question that we are asking regarding blessed are the pure in heart. You may say, who is it that can go into the presence of God? Who is it that will be able to walk before the Lord? Who is it that will be able to go into His holy place? David says in Psalm 24, look at verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Who is it? Verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Do you notice how David couples clean hands with a pure heart? You see, it's important that we have correct motives and that we have correct actions. You know, there's people that are both ways. There's people who do the right thing, but they have the wrong motives inside. God sees it and He knows. And then there's people that are always doing the wrong thing, and when you confront them and ask them, why are you doing that? They say, I know I have my hang-ups, but at my heart I'm a good person, right? No, it has to be the correct motive, and it has to be the correct action if we're going to be clean to the core, if we're going to be pure in heart. The clean hands, the action needs to be coupled with the purity of heart. Oswald Chambers says this, God makes me pure in heart, I must make myself pure in conduct. Now that's a good statement. God makes me pure in heart when we receive salvation, I must make myself pure in conduct. It's important that we make sure that our outward actions honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And this has a lot to do with the purity of heart, because listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 15, verse 18 and 19. He says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. You see, Jesus was saying, if you have a problem with the actions that you have, really, the problem is with the heart. You remember that illustration I gave you, I think it was last week, about that clock that was always wrong in the church, and the preacher had put the placard on it because it was always slow or always fast. And he said, on the placard below that clock that was always wrong, it said, don't blame my hands, the trouble lies deeper. You know, that's true. All of these wicked things that we see play out in life, they all start in the heart. And that's why it's so important that we purify our hearts. We need to be pure in our mind, pure in our motives, pure in our emotions. Listen to this interesting story that Chuck Swindoll tells. He says, in Growing Deep in the Christian Life, in his book, Chuck Swindoll, Growing Deep in the Christian Life, tells a story about a man who bought some fried chicken dinners for himself and his date late one afternoon. I saved this toward the end of the message because I didn't want you to get too hungry. So he's going out to buy some fried chicken dinners and his date late one afternoon. The attendant at the fast food outlet inadvertently, instead of giving him the bucket of chicken, gave him the bucket that had the money in it from that day's business. A bucket of money, much of it cash, instead of fried chicken. Now, telling about this story, Swindoll says, after driving to their picnic site, the two of them sat down to enjoy some chicken. They discovered a whole lot more than chicken, though, in their bucket, over $800. This man, he was unusual. He quickly put the money back in the bag. They got back into the car and drove all the way back to the chicken restaurant. By then, of course, the manager was frantic. Mr. Clean got out, walked in, and became an instant hero with that manager. He said, I want you to know I came by here to get a couple of chicken dinners and wound up with all this money here. Well, the manager was thrilled. He said, let me call the newspaper. I'm going to have your picture put in the local paper. You're one of the most honest men I've ever met. To which the man quickly responded, oh, no, don't do that. Then he leaned closer and whispered, you see the woman I'm with? She's not my wife. He was with another man's wife going out on this date for chicken. You see, he seemed very upstanding, didn't he? Bringing the money back. But in truth, he wasn't pure in heart, was he? You know, now, you may not be running around with someone else's spouse, but do you have that same problem in creating a duplicity in your life, where you choose to be honest about these things, but not honest about these things? You choose to do right in this area, but you just kind of turn a blind eye to the sin that sits in that area. You know, if that's what you're doing, then according to Jesus Christ, you're not pure in heart. That is not purity of heart. You know, many times we can do that, compartmentalize things. We do good here, we're honest on this, but not honest on that. And whenever we want to think good about ourselves, we think about all the things that we're honest on, and we look at all the things our neighbor or our friend is not right on. And that's how we make ourselves feel good about ourselves. But this morning, I hope you'll be honest with yourself. And I hope you'll examine every area of your life. And I hope you'll ask God to point out to you if there's some area where you are not being pure in heart. If you really want to see God, if you want to see God right here, right now, work in your life and bless your life, it can't be with a dirty heart. It can't be with a defiled heart. You have to be pure in heart. One last illustration this morning, and we'll be done here on this Valentine's Day. But there was a woman from Switzerland. She tells a story about her country's flower, and I think I'm saying it right, the Edelweiss. The very name of that plant means this, noble and white. So it really gets its name from the idea of purity. It's a small perennial herb of the aster family. Its pure white blossoms have to be sought after because it nestles in the highest snowy crags of the Alps. It is so absolutely white that it blends perfectly in its snow-covered environment. It loses its identifying characteristics completely in the snow. Even when picked and pressed in paper for preservation, it remains free from discoloration for many, many years. You know, when we talk about being pure in heart, I think we ought to strive to be like that flower. We ought to strive to be completely pure and noble, trying to attain the heights of God. And as God keeps us pure in our mind and our motives and in our emotions, He will enable us to live in a manner that would honor and glorify Him, that we would be pure in heart. This morning, you must be pure in heart. Be pure in your mind. Be pure in your motives. Be pure in your emotions.